like to look at some scriptures that talk about patience this morning. I've been thinking about the value of patience, and I'd like to start in Ecclesiastes, the seventh chapter and the eighth verse. He says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." As thinking about patient in spirit here, it's compared to being hasty. And, you know, when we get in a big rush, when we get anger, or in a big hurry, big rush, being hasty, it's easy to lose sight of, it seems like it closes our, it brings tunnel vision. It just narrows our view down to what we're reacting to or trying to do. And he said, "For anger resteth in the bosom. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." It causes us to do foolish things. Things that we would later, at a different moment in time, would probably regret. Another verse in Proverbs 14:29. He says, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." So this has to do with being patient also. Slow to wrath, slow to anger. Being able to endure, that's what the word patient, it's long-suffering, it's endurance. And it's probably one of the hardest traits for humanity. Maybe to obtain or get a hold of. It just seems like we're, and I know people have different personalities and temperaments. Some have a more of a quick fuse than others, but I think all of us need to be patient. And I thought about different, there's a scripture in Thessalonians that says, "Be patient toward all." So that includes everybody. That includes babies. We have to be patient with babies? Yeah, we do. They try our patience. We have to be patient with children. We have to be patient with young adults. We have to be patient. I was at the nursing home yesterday with my dad. You've got to be patient with the elderly. Patient. They do things that, just looking over the whole scenario, I thought these people are really tried. They've got a lot to... There was a young man, 39 years old, that wasn't in his right mind. There was a lot of older ones that weren't in their right minds. It takes a lot of patience to bear with those things. It takes a lot of long-suffering, forbearance. But it's very important for us to do that. I believe if we're patient, the Lord can teach us and show us what to do and the right way to do it, as opposed to just being hasty in our spirit. And it said, "He that is hasty in his spirit exalteth folly." Sometimes you look back in your life and You realize that maybe some of your biggest mistakes was you got in too big of a rush or too big of a hurry. Another one I thought about is being patient with ourselves. You know, there's times I've had that this week. I told myself, all right, Bob, you just got to be patient with you, who you are. Sometimes we've got to be patient with us. You know, there's a little song that we sing is in the children's book. It says, he's still working on me. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. How patient and loving he must be, for he's still working on me. Then there's another part you might have to help me. He said, there ought to be a sign upon my heart, an unfinished work, an unfinished part. But we don't have those signs, but the Lord help us to be patient with people, patient with the young, patient with the middle-aged, patient with the elderly. We are all in the process of, we're still learning. We're still growing. We're still trying to follow the Lord and serve the Lord. And it takes great, great patience. You know, another thing we need to be patient too is with the Lord. The Lord doesn't work on our timetable. He doesn't always do things according to our thoughts and our plans. And we want to, there's many scriptures that talk about waiting upon the Lord. Waiting upon Him. Looking to Him. You remember there in the book of Daniel, Daniel had been fasting and praying, seeking the Lord, and no answer for 21 days. 21 days, finally the answer came. When we pray about the will of God, or when we've got a decision before us to make, you know that takes time to get. I believe the way the Lord works many times, He wants to reveal His will to us. He wants to show us the right path, but it seems like it takes it's like a puzzle. There's different pieces that the Lord puts in the way, puts that we've got to. Maybe that's why I don't like puzzles too well. They take patience. You know, the patience, you got to. I found out some of the secrets. You gather the colors, light colors. You kind of put those in a group, and it makes different groups because you know the colors are going to have to go together and match up. That kind of, but it takes a lot of patience to put puzzle together. You got to see what's, you know, you got to find these little pieces. And sometimes when we're seeking the Lord and we're seeking the will of God for our lives, or we're seeking Him for a decision that we need to make, it's like there's different pieces that have to come together to give us the right picture. And I believe it works that way more times than not. I know the Lord can give probably a simple answer in a dream or in reading something. I know it does sometimes come that way, but in my life it seems like it's always been these things. You see little things here, little thing here, and it begins to point in a direction. It begins to point us in the right way. And it takes patience seeking the Lord and waiting upon God, and it takes more than a day, usually, more than 2 days. More than three. But if we don't have patience, we just, you know, quit praying about it, brush it aside, forget about it. But the Lord does want to answer prayer. He wants to help. But many times we need to exercise patience be patient with God, and because He has sure shown a lot of patience, I know, to me. So we want to be patient with Him and looking to Him. Another verse I wanted to get is in the book of James. Now, James, there are several, he mentions this several times about patience in his book, and I don't know if I've ever really noticed or put it all together before. I've noticed different things because the Lord's given me some things out of James before along the line of patience, but there are so many just in the small book of James. I want to look in verse 1 of chapter 1. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now, how did they get scattered? Abroad. It was because of the persecutions that they were going through, the difficulties that they were experiencing. To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I believe the Lord allows, you know, sometimes we see our trouble from a human perspective so many times, and we shun it. And we try to avoid it, and we try to pass by it. But the Lord is trying to teach us lessons in our trials, in our difficulties. He's trying to help us to learn, and patience is a great part of that process. And if we don't have, He said, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect. Now here, this perfect means mature. It's that you may come to maturity, that you may come to the mind of God and having a mature perspective and mature in your heart and your spirit. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So we need to, you know, he says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That's difficulties. That's trouble. That's, if we look at it as an opportunity of being able to, okay, Lord, what do you want me to learn here? What are you trying to teach me here? Instead of just trying to scrap the whole thing and throw the whole thing aside, Lord, what do you want me to learn? What are you trying to teach me? And start putting the pieces of the puzzle together by God's help and God's grace. I remember when we first bought our house on Cleveland House, I don't remember if I shared this here or not, but we had an apple tree that was, it had been neglected. There was just branches everywhere. But I liked that apple tree. I pruned it, and I knew it had apples. It bore apples, but the apples never got red. They were kind of a greenish apple. And I would sample it through the summer. I'd get one and taste. That's sour. But you know, that fall, they started getting a little bit yellow. Never got red. But during that fall, they had such a good, rich flavor. There was no comparison from the green to the mature apple. And if we work with our difficulties, if we stay with God in our troubles, stay with our difficulties and begin to work through it. You know, in our day and time, it just seems like people run into difficulties. Well, it's often, I need another job. I need to go find another. This job ain't working. These people aren't nice. Any difficulty, any type of thing, it's just like, get me away from it. But if you stay there and you learn to master the difficulty, you learn how to develop under those circumstances, it begins to develop something, it begins to bring maturity in our own heart. Is it easy? No. But it begins to bring maturity in us if we hold fast and we stay. Adam Clark on this scripture, he says, James 1:4, he says, continue faithful and your patience will be crowned with its full reward. Continue faithful and your patience will be crowned with its full reward. For in this sense, we translate work to be understood. It is any effect produced by a cause, as interest from money, fruit from tillage, gain from labor, a reward for services performed. Let patience have her perfect work. There's a reward. There's something good on the horizon. There's a blessing that will be there if we hold on to faith and we hold on to God and we trust in Him and we are patient to try to learn. You know, when you go to learn a new thing, it takes a lot of patience to learn something new. And I believe in the Christian life we have, they call it in school, they called it learning curves. You're in a learning curve. But it's learning something new, and it's difficult, a transition, it's a change. And when we're in those times of transition, we want to be patient with God, we want to be patient with others, we want to be patient with ourselves, because there'll be a blessing, there'll be maturity that comes when we're patient. I probably told you too, the time I was working at the school, I got so tried with the teenagers. You know, they'd come into class late after the bell rang, and I'm not talking at the start of school, but I'm just saying being late, they'd just come in 30 seconds, a minute late. Well, I'd penalize them for it. And my thought was, I've got to, you know, kind of like a drill sergeant, you've got to have control or it's going to get out of order here. And I started getting a little hard in my thoughts and my dealings. And I was praying, seeking the Lord about it, and He gave me this scripture here in James. Let's see if it's the fifth chapter and the seventh verse. He says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. You know, another thing I had to have patience with was the parents. But he says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, and this is the scripture that God gave me grace with. Brother Galen talked about grace. When I got a hold of this verse, grace came into my heart. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. You know, the husbandman, he just doesn't go plant a vineyard and expect it to be a mature vineyard. He doesn't plant a vineyard one year and go out next year with all of his harvest trucks looking for the harvest. It takes time. It takes seasoning. And the Lord brought that to my mind with those teenagers. They're not adults. They're not matured yet. And when the Lord blessed me with that scripture, I took them to the chapel. I sat them down and I said, it was a young man. I wasn't having trouble with the females. It was the young men. I sat them down and I apologized to them. I said, I'm sorry. I feel like my attitude has not been right. I've been too hard. I've been too critical. Would you please forgive me? And you know, it changed the whole thing. It changed my relationship with them, changed. Everything became so much better. Yeah, they still did a few things. They weren't perfect. But my attitude and my spirit changed, and God blessed in that. And we want to be patient. We want to be patient in our heart and spirit. But James talks about it here so much. He says, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. He has long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now, I don't really know if he's talking about the end of time or not. I'll leave that with you. But I do know this. Number one, we have to have patience for the coming of the Lord, because the Lord is coming back. Literally, he's going to break through the clouds of the sky. The trump will sound. The dead in Christ will raise. That's going to happen according to the scriptures. And we've got to have patience to wait for that. But also, the coming of the Lord also is related in the scriptures. It's not just the second coming when he comes back, but also when he shows up to bring help or judgment against. When you read the first part of the fifth chapter, the rich were taking advantage of the poor. Like is what's happening in our society. The wealthy, the rich, through interest rates, credit cards, all those type of things, it's taking advantage of the poor. And he brought back, and he says, he mentions in verse 4, he says, behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which of you is kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. The Lord will judge those things in life before his second coming. I know he will at the second coming, but he also sends preliminary judgment sometimes against people, against things that are contrary. So he says, be ye patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draw nigh. There's going to come a time when God is going to right the wrong. There's going to come a time where He shows up on the scene and He will be glorified. And we want to be patient until that time comes. We want to be patient to wait upon God. Then He goes on, He continues on in verse 10. He says, "Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure." And that's what patience is. It's also, in looking it up, it means to bear, long suffer, patiently endure. It's an endurance. He said, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the Lord, the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Job held on to God. He held on in faith when his wife told him, "Just curse God and die." Job didn't do that. He didn't follow that advice. He held on to God. He was patient. And that's what he's reminding these people here. You've heard, you've seen the end of the Lord. So he mentions much in this book about patience. And we want to exercise patience with all people. Patience with, have you ever had somebody pull out in front of you abruptly and what'd you think? Oh, why did they do that to me? You know, I can't anymore. I can't help but think that, Bob, you know, you've pulled out in front of people before. Bob, you know, you haven't always seen people clearly. Bob, you know, you've been in a hurry at times and you thought you had more room than what you did. You know, it comes back upon us. So we want to be patient. Those that don't know God, those that are away from God, that are in darkness, Lord, help us to be patient with them. Help us to be patient. You remember the example of the tree that Jesus gave an illustration about? He said, "I've come looking for fruit on this tree for, what, 3 years now? Nothing's on it. So I'm going to cut it down." Anyway, he didn't. He said, "No." He said, let's dung it. Let's work with this tree, with this plant. And if it doesn't bring forth fruit, then we can take it down. I'm thankful today that God is patient to work with us. Lord, help us to be patient to work with others. When we see their needs, when we see things that kind of cut against our grain, against who, what we are, and help us to be patient to bear with them and to remember where we come from, the direction that we were one time going, the things that the devil had us bound with. And the last scripture I had was where Jesus told him, he said, in the Gospel of Luke, he said, "In your patience possess ye your souls." He was talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, and he told them to look and to be watching for these things that are going to come to pass. And then he said, "In your patience, possess ye your souls." And patience is a very a very valuable trait, a very valuable character that we want to have in our lives. It brings hope. It brings salvation. It brings the reward will come. He said, continue faithful and your patience will be crowned. It's something we want to cleave to and hold to. In your patience possess ye your souls. So other words, in our haste or in our lack of patience, we can do things that can really hurt us, hurt those around about us, hurt the cause of God through just a lack of being impatient, being hasty to say things. It's so easy sometimes just to say things that we should never say. So Lord, help us to be patient. Patient in our heart, patient in our spirit, patient with others. And that life will be crowned. He mentioned, he started off, the one I started with, it was patient. The patient in spirit is better than the proud of spirit. And it said, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. He that is slow of wrath is of great understanding. You know, we can gain, it's easy to prejudge. It's easy to get a mental block by prejudging someone or conditions. But when we're patient, the Lord has a way of being able to show us perhaps the other side or the thing that we're not seeing. And once we're able to see that, I believe the Lord can bless, and that's where He gives us grace. When we see things from the Lord's perspective, it changes things so much in our lives. So I want to encourage us. I've had to have patience with me this week. I feel like I came short. I felt like there was something that I had the head knowledge that I knew about, but it slipped past me. And it started really discouraging me, and I believe the Lord just brought this thought to me, said, be patient. Be patient with others. Be patient with yourself, and I'll help you. I appreciate your attention this morning.